Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Grant us, O Lord, to trust in you with all our hearts. For as you always resist the proud who confide in their own strength, so you never forsake those who make their boast of your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Genesis. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So out of the ground the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all cattle and to the birds of the air and to every animal of the field. But for man there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken." Therefore, a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. To Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker. To Apphia, our sister. To Archippus, our fellow soldier. And to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about your owing even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I am writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Christ.
Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, himself cannot be my disciple who does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, "This fellow began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then, while the others are still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciples if you not give up all your possessions. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My friend Ed Bacon is the rector of All Saints Episcopal Church in Pasadena, California. It is an enormous, magnificent church. And Ed is a big man with a huge voice. I love to hear him speak. Ed was born and raised in rural Georgia. His father also was a very big, barrel-chested man who was a staunch Southern Baptist and raised his son that way. Somewhere in his teenage years, Ed began to want to try a different kind of Christianity. He didn't agree with everything in the Southern Baptist tradition, and so he found his way to the Episcopal Church. But that began a long tug of war between Ed and his dad. He knew that he was disappointing his dad. His dad made that very clear, although he never quite spoke about it in words. It was a sigh here and a gesture there, and oh yeah, you gotta go over there to that place. Ed would go on to seminary and become part of the civil rights movement, and he moved back to Georgia where he took an Episcopal church and got married and had babies, but he was still close in proximity to his dad. And then two things happened at once. Ed's father became very ill. He was dying. And also, at about the same time, Ed got called to become the dean of the cathedral in Mississippi. Ed was torn in two. He wanted more than anything to accept this call, to serve more souls for the Lord. He knew that he could make a world of difference there at that cathedral. But every time he thought of moving, of uprooting his family and leaving his dad, he got chest pains. He went to the doctor and it looked like there was nothing wrong with his heart physically. So he went to see a good friend. His good friend was a rabbi up in Washington, D.C., named Rabbi Friedman, who's since written a lot of good books about psychology and religion. Ed went to Rabbi Friedman and told him his chest was hurting, and he had this hard decision to make, and what should he do? And this is what the rabbi said. Ed, you have never left your father. You have never asked for permission to leave him. You have not asked him for his blessing. You have not admitted in words that the two of you disagree, that you are different from one another. You need to ask your father for permission to leave him. And you better do it fast, because your dad is dying, Ed. That night, Ed got on the telephone. He was so nervous that he was shaking and sweating and pacing back and forth. He called his dad. Dad, I've never really said this before, but I know that we don't agree on many things about how to interpret the gospel, but I really want to go and become the dean of this cathedral, and I want your permission to leave Georgia and to leave the life that we've lived together, but it doesn't mean that I don't love you. Will you give me permission to go? There was this deafening silence on the other end of the phone. Ed's dad was so weak that he could not speak very loudly, but Ed heard him take a deep breath. And then he said, "Son, go for it." Son, go for it. We are going to read the whole Old Testament this year, this fall, through the spring, the academic year. You and I are going to read some of the essential stories of the Old Testament together. This coincides with our class at 10, which is called the Bible Challenge. Together, we're going to hear some of the great stories of Scripture. And we begin today in the book of Genesis. And God has created Adam and Eve, and something very important is said about that first man and that first woman. It says very clearly in Scripture that they were both naked and they were not ashamed. They were both naked and they were not ashamed. Now, in Israel, there are two seas, the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. And they are united by this mighty river, the River Jordan, in which Jesus himself was baptized. But the two seas in Israel are very different from one another. You see, the Sea of Galilee is teeming with life. There are fishes of all kinds. You remember the stories of how Jesus used to tell the disciples to throw the net overboard and it would be full of fish, so full that the net was almost breaking? But just 65 miles south of the Sea of Galilee is the Dead Sea, and it is quite literally that. Everything in it is dead. There is not a single living thing that can survive in that sea. What is the difference between the two seas in Israel? Well, you see, the River Jordan enters the Sea of Galilee, and the Sea of Galilee receives it, and the River Jordan leaves the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee receives and gives. Receives and gives, and that is why it is alive. The Dead Sea, though, only receives the water of the River Jordan, but it does not give. It receives the waters and it holds them. And as a result, everything in it is dead. There is one simple truth about human existence. And it is referred to in the book of Genesis. We were created naked, with nothing. When we lived in paradise in harmony with God, we did not own anything. And subsequently, when you die, you also die naked. You may be wearing something at the time, probably a good idea, but you can't take it with you. We go in the same way that we came, with nothing. In the psalm that we read, it says that God knit you together in your mother's womb, and you are wonderful and marvelously made. But you were not made with a 401k. You were not born dressed in a tuxedo or even jeans and a t-shirt. You were created with nothing. Nothing at all. In the gospel for today, Jesus says a very difficult thing, something that I have struggled with my whole adult life, really. He says that if you want to be his disciple, you must hate mother and father, brothers and sisters, mother-in-law. Hate them. And I've always thought this doesn't make sense to me. Everything else that Jesus talks about has to do with love, loving your neighbor, loving yourself, loving God. Why do you have to hate your family? But I think that Jesus was making a very important point to us. Notice that he didn't tell us to hate our rulers or our doctors or teachers. He talks about our families, because we tend to hold on to them too much. More than anyone else in our lives, the people that we are closest to are the ones that we cling to. And we can sometimes hurt them because we refuse to let them go. You see, ever since we fell from Eden, we have been ashamed. In Eden, they were not ashamed of being naked. It says so clearly. But after we fell, we have been ashamed of our nakedness. And so we do everything that we can to cover ourselves up. Oh, we hold on to stuff. Americans, we have to have storage units to hold our stuff because we can't even fit it in our homes. We hold on to our monies. And perhaps most of all, we hold on to our loved ones. We cling to them for safety, for comfort. But when you do not give and receive and give, receive and give, you hurt the ones you love. And life, really, if you look at it, is a series of letting go. We must let go of everyone and everything. I was just on Friday visiting with a woman who is having to move into a nursing home, and she's so mad because she cannot take her paintings and her couch and her lamps. And she keeps refusing to go, and then she falls again and goes to the hospital. And it's so hard. It's so hard to let go. Every year, the church will ask you, and again in October, we will ask you, give away some of your money. And I'll have people come and say, I can give you time. Why do we talk about money? We talk about it because it's very important that you receive and give, receive and give. It is the only way to be healthy with God. It is the only way to be truly well. I really believe that Ed's dad, he spoke with God's words when he said, "Son, go for it." We don't want to waste our lives clinging in fear, hoping to find something secure. We want to receive and give. Receive and give. For the only one that you can cling to is our Lord. He is the only one who stays with you always. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Almighty Father, through the waters of baptism, you have made us your children. Help us to live more fully as part of your family of saints. Living God, you have marked us as Christ's own forever. Help us to live generously and without fear. Living God, bless all those who are sick, suffering, or in need. May they experience the peace of your presence at all times and in all places. I invite you to speak the names of those in need aloud. We especially pray for the people of Syria. Living God, we pray for the people of Syria. Guide those in authority around the world that there may be greater understanding among all people. Living God, bless all those who have died that they may have eternal life. I invite you to speak their names aloud. We remember especially all those who have died on September 11, 2001. We remember also Ben Avery.
John. John.
Living God,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks for the ministries of this cathedral that touch the lives of the poor, the homeless, the sick, the elderly, and little children. Give us the strength, courage, and joy to grow these ministries and to serve you here in the city of Jacksonville and throughout the world. Living God, we give thanks for all the blessings of this life. I invite you to name your blessings aloud.
For this community and your family.
Living God, fashion us in your image and likeness, O God, that we may serve you as your children all our days.
Amen. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you. Please be seated. Welcome, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the cathedral. If you're new or visiting, would you raise your hand and we will know who you are and we can make you feel very welcome, but we won't make you give a speech. Don't worry. Well, we're so glad you're here, all of you. If you're visiting, there is a card in your pew that you can fill out and we'll send you our e-newsletter. We began our fall programs today with classes at 10 o'clock, and there are details about all those classes in your bulletin. After this service, we're going to have a wonderful cookout, family style, hot dogs and stuff. So please come to Tolliver Hall and enjoy yourselves and feast with us. This Wednesday is September 11th, and there will be a concert here at the church. It is a Sister Cities concert in which they remember those who have died and pray for peace. So I hope you all will come and join us on that day. We are getting ready to host a few more homeless families beginning on September the 29th. They will be living here at the cathedral for a week, and we need volunteers to help with cooking, with staying with them, doing other detail work. So if you can help, please check your bulletin and contact the church. We've made some new handicap parking spaces out here on Shield Street, so we hope that those of you who need them will take advantage and use them. If you have any questions, please talk to me or Tim or any of the staff, and we'll try to help you. And I encourage you after church to find someone you don't know well and ask them if you can pray for them. We've been doing this for the past few weeks, and I love how we're building community together as the family of God. And speaking of the family of God, I am very proud that one of our members has gone and become a monk. Isn't that wonderful? Brother Clement is here with us this weekend. He's been leading a silent retreat. There you are. Welcome, Brother Clement. We're so glad you're with us today. It's an honor to have them. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right
and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For you are the source of light and life. You made us in your image and called us to new life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace, and at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father. Now and forever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. These are the gifts of God for you. You are the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
please join me in sending forth our lay Eucharistic visitor who will bring communion to those who cannot come to church. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and remain with you always.
Hallelujah. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.